John Embry remains a precious metals industry professional insider for over three decades. He's accumulated experience as a portfolio manager and specialist since 1963, senior advisor at Sprott Asset Management, and a favorite and regular here on Gold Seek Radio. Welcome back, John Embry.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. It's a pleasure to chat with you.
This has just been one of the best years for the precious metals industry, and some folks are saying close to 40 years. I mean, that's the better part of your tenure. Still not many believers. You know, maybe it's the volatility that's scared some people away.
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, the whole sector was under enormous pressure after 2011. And you went through a, you know, a very difficult period when the gold price fell from 1900 to down around 1150. And silver fell even further, and the shares were annihilated. And this all sort of came to a head and ended at the beginning of this year at a time when gold and silver were remarkably cheap, and as were the shares. Now, we've had a, you know, a fairly significant rebound in gold and silver, but the shares did it, made a heroic leap. At one point, the Huey Gold Index, which is the most sort of inclusive of gold index, was up 180% since January the 19th. Now, there's been a correction here in the last few weeks, which, again, is maybe unnerving a few people, but I think it's a fantastic buying opportunity.
Obviously, the trend has changed. Even if we just back and fill for a few years, it still represents buying opportunities during every pullback. And actually, the XAU was up approximately 200% from its nadir, from the trough early in 2016. At one point, it was approaching 200%, and it's not even leveraged like the HUI or as leveraged. So the greenback remains under pressure. Over the last few years, it's done nothing but tread water. It's had every opportunity to break out from the trading range to new highs. In fact, it's really one of the few currencies that's even yielding much of a return, somewhere around 0.5%, if you will, on the most basic level. And the Fed policymakers continue to jawbone hawkish comments. Very few people expect much more than maybe one more rate hike. How important is the dollar story, do you think, to gold, or are investors even paying attention?
And it's being promoted as being extremely important. And I mean, even though the dollar hasn't broken out, it's still been stronger than most other currencies. Like if you take the Canadian dollar, which is where I live, I mean, the Canadian dollar has been materially weak against the U.S. dollar in the last couple of years with the problems in the oil business. So right now, I mean, the gold price in Canadian dollars isn't that far off its all-time high. And that's true in a lot of weak currency countries like Australia and South America and what have you. But I think when gold will really get going is when it sort of breaks out against the U.S. dollar. Because at that point, I think people realize that all the fiat currencies are flawed and that you'd better have some exposure in real money, which is gold and silver for that matter.
And the People's Bank of China obviously continue to stockpile large precious metals, at least on an accumulation basis. And of course, the official numbers seem to indicate that the U.S. is at the top of the heap as far as gold stockpiles are concerned, or around, let's say, 10,000 tons, 8,000 to 10,000, depending on which source you cite. China is officially only around 3,000 tons. But some of our guests here have suggested that that number could be wildly underestimated. It could be a lowball figure. Our huge trading partner there, now the second largest economy in the world by some metrics, may have accumulated much larger precious metals reserves with no intention of parting with them or leasing them out as well. I mean, that's another key component there. Do you suspect that might be the case? And is that in anticipation of a new gold-backed reserve currency?
Well, I happen to agree with your people have been on your show that think they're understating their reserves. I think they put it in very different places. You know, they probably don't hold it in the Reserve Bank per se. But trust me, they have imported enormous quantities of gold into China over the last 10 years. And, you know, the fact is that nobody really knows what the gold holdings of the various central banks and treasuries around the world are. There are these reported numbers, but a lot of this stuff has been mobilized and it's been leased, and no one really knows what's in anybody's vault. But what you do know for sure is a lot of the eastern countries like Russia and China and India and what have you have been accumulating gold relentlessly for the last few years. And I think, as you said, that this is probably an anticipation of a change of the world's currency order. U.S. dollar, as you know, has been the reserve currency since the end of the Second World War. I don't think that's going to persist for that much longer, and I think a lot of these other nations realize that.
I think it's interesting you'd say that, because there's even one report from Coos Jansen that the Chinese banks, unlike ours here, who detest the barbarous relic, actually have massive gold holdings of their own. And it's ironic, because that was the original business model, was set up several hundred years ago in Great Britain. You held people's precious metals, okay, for the goldsmiths, and then you issued a piece of paper that said, I'm holding your gold, and maybe there's some interest, maybe there isn't. And that was the general idea in the big strong box. Okay, Bond King Bill Gross, they keep calling him the Bond King, but that's becoming less and less, I think, the case. He has lost his appetite for most bonds and suddenly is a gold bug, because this is a very financially savvy individual.
Well, Bill Gross is one of the leading bond guys in my lifetime. I mean, he is the king of bonds, really. But the fact is, he's dead right. I mean, he realizes as well as anybody what's going on here. The debasement of money that's going on and the ridiculously low interest rates available on any decent quality bond in the world, it's beyond my comprehension why anybody would own these things at this point. Furthest extreme, when you get into negative interest rates, I mean, I think when people look back on this era and writing books about it, they're going to be horrified at being up there with the guys that were in tulip mania and South Sea bubbles and everything.
We can just point fingers at who will be the next John Law, right, at our Fed policymakers.
True, the garbage that comes out of the various central bankers is enough to really sort of make you wonder.
Interesting story from Zero Hedge. Federal Reserve gold withdrawals from their bank vaults continues to reach record levels. It's accelerating almost 400 tons now since 2014. And, you know, I think that's emblematic of a situation where there's a loss in confidence in the safety, if you will, or at least the wherewithal and trustworthiness of our central bank, as well as a desire to secure national precious metals stockpiles by our trading partners. Any thoughts?
Guys, a lot of thoughts on that. I think, quite frankly, that you have your gold in the hands of someone else, and your counterparty is the least bit suspicious. I would recommend strongly you get your hands on your gold right away. And I think that is starting to, you know, happen at the official levels, at the central bank levels. I mean, all this stuff that's sort of held in vaults for other people, it's being hypothecated and rehypothecated. Nobody knows who owns what now. So I can understand why people are asking for their gold back.
That is really, I think, going to be one of the key phrases that we hear thrown around at the next crisis, whenever that may be, next week, next month, next year. Rehypothecation, transparency, lack thereof. And, of course, where is the true value? Where is intrinsic value derived? I mean, I think people will just be speechless when they see what happens and what comes to pass. And you've really pointed that out well here on the show for many, many years. You've said, you know, and many of our guests, that precious metals in the hand, it's solid, it's real, cannot be rehypothecated. It's not perfect in every way, but it's as close as we've found in about 5,000 years of money.
Well, I tell you, like, so much of the gold that people hold today is in paper form. They have no idea what's behind the paper, and I would submit that there is so much paper gold that has little to no backing that when finally this sort of comes to a head, people are going to think they own gold. They're going to be settled for paper at the very time you don't want to own paper. So I'm a very great proponent. If you don't own it with physical in your possession, you better be real sure that the vehicle you own, the paper vehicle, has all the gold it, you know, it purports to have, and it's audited, and you're 100% confident that it's there.
You're also a huge proponent of silver, and that's the less well-known poor man's gold, the alternative that might just become a superstar in the event that the yellow metal becomes, frankly, hard to find. And there are growing signs of shortages in large scale, concerns by many top people on this show and other shows and other areas who seem to think that eventually the folks at the top, the very top of the pyramid, will have most of the yellow metal by the time this economic house of cards implodes. But the only thing left would be silver, which would make it perhaps return to a more historical gold-to-silver ratio. Can you give us the implications?
Well, I think what you just said is absolutely right. Why that silver, as you say, it's called poor man's gold. When gold sort of starts ascending to, you know, new highs, dramatic new highs, and it gets harder and harder to get. The people that want some exposure, they won't even be able to afford gold, let alone if they even access it. So they'll turn to silver, which is a precious metal as well. One thing you can be sure of, in all previous real bull markets for gold and silver, the gold-silver ratio falls dramatically. I suspect it will fall dramatically again this time. So let's just say, for instance, gold went to $2,500, and the gold-silver ratio fell to 30. Well, I mean, it would go up twice as fast as the gold price went up. So you're looking at a $60, $70 price for silver. And that's just jacks for openers. So I think I would go so far as to say silver is one of the cheapest assets at this moment that I have ever seen in my career in any asset.
You know, the Bank of Ireland, they just announced in the Irish Times out of Dublin, charging for cash deposits. If you give us your money, we're going to charge you for that transaction. And of course, this is not news. I mean, there's negative rates around the world. In the short term, this may not have a huge impact on demand for the precious metals. But as confidence in the financial institutions begins to wane, people realize, wait a minute, you mean my money's not safe and I'm paying you for the privilege? That to me sounds like the aha wake-up moment where real money flows start to look for something solid and tangible.
You're absolutely right. Like, I mean, basically, one of the great arguments that the anti-gold camp has used forever is that it doesn't pay interest, gold. Well, guess what? If the other people you have to pay to hold paper, I mean, that's just ludicrous. And I mean, that is the best advertisement I have ever heard for gold in my life.
Well said. All right, John Embree, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. I wonder if you could tell people more about Sprott Asset Management, perhaps help direct people's web browsers to any contact information.
I think they should just go to, you know, www.sprott.com, and we got a wealth of material available there on all sorts of subjects. It would be well worth their while.
John Embree, we always appreciate your thoughts, sir.
It's always nice to talk to you, Chris, anytime.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.